Hi, my name's Dan Parry. I'm a guide for London Walks, and I'm qualified to guide in the city and in Westminster. But the story that I have to tell you doesn't take place in London. I hope you'll bear with me. But it goes back to 2007, when I was a TV producer working at a small TV company in Soho. At that time, I was trying to get an interview with various astronauts for the space productions that I was working on, productions to mark the 50th anniversary of NASA, due to take place in 2009. And I'd arranged interviews with lots of the astronauts, many of the 12 men who walked on the moon. I'd arranged an interview with President George H.W. Bush, the 41st president, and a couple of other people too, and that had been interesting. But the person that I really needed to arrange an interview with was Neil Armstrong, which was tricky because Armstrong hadn't given a TV interview in the previous 10 or 20 years of his life, maybe. He was a little shy, but also he just didn't believe in television. There was no need to give TV interviews. And I kind of admired him for that. He's quite stoic. And he had a belief that maybe TV dumbed things down a little. Nevertheless, the show that I was working on was a documentary series produced for NASA and to be shown on the BBC and on the Discovery Channel, and on about a dozen other channels around the world. And it was quite a big deal, and I wanted the best people. And so I felt that Armstrong should tell the story, not least because the Apollo 11 mission patch is the only one of NASA's mission patches which doesn't have the astronauts' names around the outside, because they took all of humanity with them. They took all of us to the moon. They didn't put their own names around the patch because we were all there with them. So maybe one of them could just tell us a bit about it. And that was my proposal to Armstrong throughout the summer of 2007, and he said no. So I wrote another email and explained why I wanted to meet him, and still he said no. And I was thinking, well, how do I persuade him? I found out a bit about him. I researched all that I could. I wanted to understand what his reticence was and who this man was. I understood his passion for flight. He wasn't desperate to fly to the moon, but he did have a passion for flying, for all the elements of flight. And I came to understand that and understood about his earlier missions, including Gemini 8. And I put everything that I could into an email and sent that off, and he wrote back and said no. And then, so I wrote again and wrote persistently for about a year. And then finally, November 2007, I wrote again to Armstrong and said, I stated my case again, and he wrote back and said, yes, all right, he will. He would meet us on the condition that it would be in Istanbul in a couple of days' time, only on the basis if we happened to be in Istanbul. And he would meet us on the basis that he would tell us why he wasn't going to give us an interview. Well, I wrote back and said, well, you know what, that's great, because as it happens, we're going to be in Istanbul in 2 days' time, and we'd love for you to tell us that you don't want to talk to us. From there, I had to go and tell my boss that we have to be in Istanbul in 2 days' time for someone who's going to tell us what they don't want to do for us. And my boss was all ears for that. So we jumped on a plane and we went to Istanbul, and we were super excited. And all we had to do was just drive down the main street and get down to the former Ottoman palace that had been converted into a large hotel where Armstrong and his wife were staying. And en route, no one was going anywhere because of the traffic jams. And I was really super stressed. It had taken a while to organise this. And so the best thing that I could do was get out of the car and just run through the traffic and get to the hotel. But fortunately, my boss persuaded me to be a little cooler than that. I was never quite as cool as Armstrong was. We got into the bar. Armstrong was great. Very friendly, twinkly, and happy to tell us what he didn't want. And that was fine. And we said, well, no. What he thought we wanted, we didn't want at all. We didn't really, but we had to change our plan. We weren't going to get a regular interview with him. What he was going to do was write down what he wanted to say and then come and narrate it. That was fine by us. So a few weeks later, he set it up. He said, I'm here for the interview. I'll agree to the interview. I'm going to be in Barcelona. You can shoot it there. So we flew to Barcelona. And after the various people that I'd met, the other astronauts, the US president, and one or two others, he was the only person that I felt a little overawed by. I was sitting in the hotel foyer in Barcelona, waiting for him to come down, and there he was, cool and calm, Turns out he wasn't really that shy after all. He knew what he wanted to say when he wanted to say it. He just didn't really felt there was a need to say it at all. He just was the original cool. Pretty cool and spoke only when he needed to. Anyway, we got in the taxi. I explained that there was a drama I was working on called Moonshot for ITV about the landing on the moon and the documentary series that he was helping us with. I was writing a book at the time, also called Moonshot, published by Ebury, part of Random House. And he would be perfect. Yeah, I'm working on a book about landing on the moon, and here I am with the commander of Apollo 11 sitting in a taxi. And he was pretty shy, and I don't really do small talk. And so what were we to talk about? Well, we both have a fascination for local history. So we talked about the Roman ruins of Barcelona as we passed them by and journeyed to our towards the location where we were doing the interview. We got into the location and we did the interview, and he was perfectly gentlemanly, very kind. And on the way back in the taxi, now I could ask myself a couple of other questions that he wasn't going to allow us to film. I could ask him now because I wouldn't have upset him, because now I'm on the journey back. We've got it in the can. And since I was writing the book, it would be helpful to get a few bits of knowledge from him. I started gently. I only had two questions. I thought, well, I can read what happened on the mission in all the mission reports and the various books. But what was life like as a person? What was it like? What did it sound like? What was it like living in a spacecraft for a week and a half on, to and from the moon? And he said noisy, because of the various machines and the life support systems, compressing air and moving things and the rest of it. I think their main job in the spacecraft was to get to the moon and come home again and not break anything. That's why they needed cool, calm fighter pilots. Not many poets went to the moon, not in the beginning at least. Anyway, and then I asked myself, can I ask my second question? He's not going to like it, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So I just came out with it and I said, look, Neil, there's been some controversy about the opening words that you said when you stepped off the spacecraft and got onto the moon. And you said that it's one small step for man, but one giant leap for mankind. Now that's tautology, I guess, isn't it? So what is it that you really meant to say? And he said to me, well, I guess we'll never know, will we? Cool to the end. We got to his hotel. He got out. He stopped a few blocks short, actually, and he walked up the street. And as the taxi drove off a little bit, I told the taxi driver who he just had in the back of his taxi. And I looked out, and there were a couple of girls that had just, the backpackers that just arrived in Barcelona, had their backpacks on, looking at a map. And they looked around behind them, and there's this old man sort of standing, looking at the same buildings and the same roads as they were looking at. And then they carried on their way with no real knowledge about who they'd been looking at standing right behind them. Anyway, it was a moment for me. You can see parts of that Armstrong interview in BBC clips on YouTube and elsewhere. And take a look at the book, Moonshot. But anyway, Armstrong, hero to the end.